bringing you the latest research, tools, and common sense tips you need to get and stay healthy. It's Talk Healthy Today. Here's Lisa Davis.
I love Foodie Friday. I love to learn all about great whole food recipes. So I have got such a great guest today. I'm absolutely thrilled. Not only is she gorgeous, but her food is delicious and beautiful as well. Her name is Pamela Salzman. Her book is Kitchen Matters, More Than 100 Recipes and Tips to Transform the Way You Cook and Eat. Wholesome, nourishing, unforgettable. Hello, Pamela.
Hello. Thank you for the welcome.
Well, everyone should get this book. Just before we started, I mentioned how much I love the cover. Pamela is kind of looking over her shoulder, just a little to the side, with this beautiful smile, and you just look, you can see the passion in your face, honestly, about what you do. There's no phoniness about it. You know, Pamela, when did you first get interested in cooking, and especially cooking with whole foods?
I'll be honest with you, I've been doing it my whole life. I mean, as early as like kindergarten, I remember cooking, and my father grew up on a farm in Italy, so we always grew up with whole foods in the kitchen, a garden in the backyard. I kind of didn't know any other way. We didn't go out to eat. So it's very much a part of my entire upbringing, really. But I started teaching about 10 years ago.
Oh, that's great. Talk to us a little bit about that.
You know, it really happened very, kind of out of the blue. I wasn't planning on a career in cooking or anything like that. I was in marketing at a studio in LA, and I was in a cooking group where women would get together once a month, and this chef would come in. And at the time, I was also really into healthy food. And just to make a very long story very short, people really wanted to cook the way I cooked, and I was always telling them to make all these different healthy swaps. So eventually they just asked me to take over the class, and that's what I did. I mean, it started with this one class that I thought would be a once a month kind of a thing, and then it just, you know, exploded.
That is so cool. You know, in the book, Kitchen Matters, I love you have this. In a nutshell, these foods matter in your kitchen. Fresh seasonal vegetables, especially dark leafy, green leafy vegetables and cruciferous vegetables. You talk about that. Whole grains, high quality fats, olive, coconut, hemp, avocado, flax. I said coconut twice. I love coconut. Although I tend to use avocado more, especially for high heat cooking. Legumes, nuts and seeds, fresh seasonal fruit. And then you've got the anti-inflammatory spices. You've got a great section on the well-stocked kitchen and equipment and what you should have in your refrigerator. Give us a few tips. Just share a couple appliances or equipment that you like, however you'd like to word it. Some of the things you want to have in our kitchen so we can be ready to cook like you.
Well, you know, I actually teach in people's homes, so I have a really good perspective on what normal home kitchens look like. And because I, you know, teach classes in them, sometimes I have a great experience, and sometimes it's like kind of less than stellar just because the equipment is really outdated, or it's just not good quality, or the lighting is bad, or the countertops are super cluttered. So I've really come to realize that the way you organize your kitchen is super important. You know, a food processor to me is a no-brainer. It just makes really tedious work so easy. And please have it in a good spot in your kitchen and not in your garage behind a surfboard. Like, you're never going to use it. I mean, honestly, you're never going to use it. It's also good to have the essential pantry items that can make, you know, the backbone of so many different meals. And I give a list of those in the book as well, but just things like, you know, good oils. And, you know, if you don't like making your own beans from scratch, have some BPA-free canned beans in the pantry. No big deal. Nut butters, seeds, whole grain pastas and whole grains, you know, even things to keep in the freezer. Make a batch of pesto and freeze half of it. You can freeze your grains for a rainy day. I love frozen fruits and vegetables. I don't know why people have such a problem with frozen vegetables, but
oh, I love them.
I love them. I mean, first of all, it's so much easier for a lot of people. If you're struggling with coming home from work, washing, prepping, chopping vegetables, it's already done in the freezer, you know, section. So those do not have any fewer nutrients than fresh, and a lot of times they have more. So I'm a big fan of, you know, frozen veggies too.
Oh, and I love the frozen fruits as well. I always have frozen organic fruits in my freezer. Now, speaking of organic, you do talk about the things that you want to have organic, and I'm right there with you if you're looking at the butters and the meats and things like that. And I'll tell people, you know, if it's expensive to afford, well, you can eat, you know, eat it less often. Like, I think I have grass-fed organic meat once a week.
Totally. And I think also people get really focused on the produce as having to be organic. And there is that dirty dozen list that you can focus on from the environmental working group. And so if it's a budget issue, focus on those 12 that really are heavily contaminated and get those organic. And then you can take the clean 15 and not worry about those being organic. But also, it is really important to have your animal products be organic because they have been shown to be more contaminated than produce by weight.
Yeah, and I think that is so important. You also have this great 10 easy swaps to make today. Out-processed table salt in moderate amounts of mineral-rich, unrefined sea salts, Celtic, Himalayan, or Maldon. Am I saying that? I've never heard of that one.
Maldon? Oh, it's Maldon. A flaky sea salt. It is one of my favorite condiments. I mean, I happen to like salt. And
me
I think that most home cooks don't necessarily use enough of it. But, you know, salt is a little bit controversial. I personally love it, and I just use a good quality salt.
Me too.
So, you know, table salt is incredibly refined. It often has additives, which people, I don't think, realize that salt would have additives like dextrose or aluminum or even sometimes a yellow dye. So it's really important to use a high-quality salt since it's an ingredient that goes into pretty much everything.
Oh, completely. And, you know, just this list alone, if people made these changes, it would make huge differences in their health. Out refined vegetable oil such as corn, canola, and soybean, and in unrefined cold pressed olive oil, avocado oil, coconut oil, and ghee, clarified butter. You could also, of course, get rid of the white sugar, get rid of the, you know, excess gluten and refined flours and put nutrient dense, better whole flours. I mean, there's so many great things in here.
Thank you. I mean, I also do believe that, you know, you don't have to overhaul your pantry and your kitchen in one fell swoop. You can do this in small, easy changes. Those are the ways that, you know, you can do it so that the changes last. You know, do one swap this week, and then if you're ready in 2 weeks, try something else.
Yeah, I like that idea. And that's the thing. It's like moving slowly, right? If you try to overhaul everything, you get overwhelmed and you feel deprived. And then you go down this, you know, black hole of help. What am I doing?
Totally. Totally.
Too hard. I'm going to jump into breakfast. I love this. Better breakfast. Every morning is an opportunity for a fresh start. I believe that breakfast sets the tone for the rest of the day.
The idea is really to think outside the box also. As long as you've got that protein, the good fats, the complex carbs / fiber in the morning, it really doesn't matter what you eat. You just don't want to overload yourself with sugar or
yes.
not eat enough. You want to have stable blood sugar for the morning, and you need to get through your morning to get you till lunch. So honestly, I came up with a great breakfast chapter in the book, but there is nothing wrong with eating last night's leftover soup for breakfast or a chicken leg or whatever, you know, basically leftovers from the night before is not outside the realm of possibilities either.
I love doing that. Oh my gosh. Like the other night I had made this really good, it was a spicy chicken sausage, and I love Rouse. Again, I don't have any affiliation with them
mm-hmm.
and it is expensive, but you can get it on sale and it's delicious. And I just mixed that together, you know, sauteed in avocado oil, the sausage, and put the Rouse. And then I took spaghetti squash. I made spaghetti squash. It was so good. And so I had that for breakfast.
So
and I'm like, this is great.
It's a great way to start your day. I personally love warm foods for breakfast, unless it's the summer, and
yes.
then I'll do some smoothies and things that are cold. But to me, you know, your digestive fire doesn't want to be squelched in the morning. So you don't want to face it down. So warm is a really good way to start the day, which is why I eat a lot of soup, actually, for breakfast.
Oh, soup is great.
Soup is great.
You know, you mentioned cold a moment ago. So let's talk about these smoothie bowls. You got a banana berry, a chocolate, a mint chip smoothie bowl. Okay, I am all about the mint chip. I still remember as a kid going to 31 Flavors. This is
my favorite flavor.
Yes, me too. And I remember just being so excited. And then the other day I was talking to my husband about birthdays. And I said, when I was a kid, we would get this ice cream cake. And I always got mint chip ice cream with chocolate cake. I know this is a health show, folks. I know. I just have to memory lane. But there's so many cool things you can do now to get those flavors, right, without having to eat the crap.
Oh, 100%. I mean, and this one, the mint chip smoothie bowl is actually my absolute favorite. And I did the work so that nobody has to figure out how much mint extract to put in it. Because the first time I made it, I put like a teaspoon in, which is way too much. I think it was inedible. But smoothie bowls are all the rage in LA where I live. And it's actually an incredible way to be able to get some extra nutrient-dense foods into your diet, whether it's as a topping or to just kind of throw it into that blender along with your frozen fruits and, you know, whatever.
Exactly. Now, I am weird about bananas. I cannot eat a banana. And even if it's mashed really well, I can always taste it. Like my husband will say, I'm telling you, it's so little banana, hun. You're not going to taste it. It's got 10 other things in it. And I'm like, it tastes like a banana. So there are bananas in that. So for people like me who are finicky, is there something else I can do? Because I really want to make it. But what can I do? Okay, tell us.
Trader Joe's actually has some great frozen figs, and I find figs that blend up really creamy the way a banana does, and it has a much more neutral flavor. The other thing you can do is just there are some add-ins that I think may be a little bit unconventional that I put in the smoothie section of the book, which is to also add creaminess, but then you can also just supplement with a little bit of sweetness if you need to. For example, you can actually throw some cooked white beans into your smoothie, some cooked sweet potato, even some tofu, and blend that with whatever, frozen berries or another kind of fruit that you do like, and then just taste it for sweetness. And if you need to add a date or a couple of drops of stevia or something like that, just to get it to the sweetness level that you like, that's all you need, right? It's just that texture.
Oh, that sounds great. Speaking of texture, this apple blackberry breakfast crisp looks fantastic.
It is so good. And I just, it's funny, I just made it over the weekend I had an excess of cherries in the fridge. So I decided to swap out the blackberries for cherries and I just pitted the cherries and it is divine. The idea behind that was keeping in line with, you know, what I think breakfast should be, low sugar, high protein, good fats. That was the idea behind the crisp because, you know, if you make a crisp for dessert, sometimes we like to sneak it for breakfast the next day, but oftentimes it has too much sugar. Mm-hmm. So this has really, really low sweeteners.
Now, you know, speaking of sweet, okay, because I do have a sweet tooth, you've got these great Bliss balls. You've got Nutella, in quotes, Bliss balls, mint chocolate chip. Here we go. My favorite again, Bliss balls, gingerbread Bliss balls, key lime Bliss balls. Okay, so what is the base of these? It looks like nuts for the most part and dates.
Exactly. It's basically nuts and dates blended, and then you can add in different flavorings. And this is such a versatile recipe. It's kind of like a Lara bar, if you've ever had one of those.
Oh, yes.
But just
those are good.
Made into a little ball, and they're portable. They last for a really long time in the fridge. I love them for travel, for lunch boxes. When we were shooting my book last summer, the crew, you know, the photographer and all these guys, they were like, is it Bliss Ball o'clock yet? Everybody wanted them as like their afternoon snack because they were just a great way to tide you over.
Oh, that is so funny. Well, we mentioned soup earlier, so let's jump into some. Mm. All right. So this Peruvian chicken and cilantro soup with quinoa, I have got to make that. I am all about the cilantro. You know, it's funny. I read somewhere that there's some scientific study that showed that some people, you either love it or it tastes like dirt or like the worst dirt you ever tasted.
Soap.
Oh, soap. Yes. Okay. So my daughter and I love it. My husband hates it.
Yeah. It's a legit thing.
Yeah. I love it. I think it tastes fantastic.
I love it too. But listen, I mean, I always hear from people whenever I use cilantro in a cooking class menu, like, what can I sub out? Because my husband thinks it tastes like soap. And it really is a legitimate issue.
Yes.
But it happens to be one of the most cleansing herbs out there. It's a chelator, and it actually connects on to heavy metals in the body and pulls them out of the body. I mean, I'm not talking about one leaf of cilantro in your guacamole. I'm talking about a lot, which is like in this soup. It has such great flavor, and this is one of the easiest soups. It was a really popular soup that I did in my classes.
Oh, great. Okay, that's good to know. Yeah, I definitely want to make that. And I'm also all about the Mexican spice. So Mexican vegetable soup with rice and beans. And I want to go back to that Peruvian. I noticed that you use frozen vegetables in it. See, that's
totally
so convenient.
This is a really convenient soup. And also, you actually are making the broth while you're cooking that chicken in it. So you don't even have to have broth on hand. It's really an easy one.
Well, I have to say, I am a huge fan of turkey chili. I love chipotle and I love sweet potatoes. So I made your chipotle turkey chili with sweet potatoes and it was so good. Oh my gosh.
Good.
Yes. And I put a ton of cilantro on top of mine and
avocado. I would do the same
thing. None for my husband.
It's all about customizing.
Yes, that is. Those flavors go so well together.
They do. Yeah, I'm a huge sweet potato fan, too.
Oh, I could live on them. I just think they're fantastic. All right, so moving along, you have great things. Here's another one. I'm a huge fan of Brussels sprouts, and usually we make them in the oven, and I love when they get caramelized. You've got a crispy stovetop Brussels sprout recipe.
Yeah, well, first of all, let me just say that you and I could be married because
yes,
we obviously
like
the same food. Yes, the whole Brussels sprout on the stovetop came to be in a very funny way. I showed up at a cooking class at somebody's house, and the power was out in the entire neighborhood. And luckily for me and for the host, they had a wood-burning oven in the backyard, which was kind of fun, so I could do the whole menu. But I was supposed to do roasted Brussels sprouts, and I couldn't fit anything else in the wood-burning oven because I had so much in there. So, like, I really had to be kind of on the fly. I blanched them first to kind of part cook them. And then I started searing them in a cast iron skillet to make them crispy. And I'm like, why didn't I think of this before? I had never been able to have Brussels sprouts on my Thanksgiving menu because I never had the oven space. And now I was like, this is it. And it ended up being a more delicious way to eat them because sometimes you roast Brussels sprouts and that core just doesn't get quite soft enough
yes.
for me.
Yeah, I agree.
And in this way, you can really get them nice and tender and get them caramelized on the outside. It's like the perfect way to do them.
I need to do that because what ends up happening with me is I end up using way too much oil. And yes, it's good to have healthy fat, but you want them to get soft. So I'll just put so much avocado
oil.
And
you know what? The thing is that sometimes people add so much oil because they think it's going to make them crispier, but it's actually the opposite.
Really?
You actually don't want to add too much oil. You just need a thin layer because otherwise you're almost poaching instead of actually getting that caramelization.
Oh, that is a good point. All right, let's move on to these grain bowls. These are beautiful. Talk to us about how you put these together and what to keep in mind.
It was actually difficult to come up with which ones I was going to put in the book because I make them so often, and I really do make them just basically what's in, according to what's in my refrigerator. So I was just trying to come up with a variety of them, for the book, just to give people some inspiration. But I don't want people to feel limited and, be like, oh, well, it has to have this sort of Asian flavor to them or this Thai flavor to them. It really can just be, wow, I have, a little bit of brown rice. I've got some beans. I've got some salsa. I can throw anything together in a bowl. We eat bowls a lot for dinner.
Yeah, it looks really, really good. Something I haven't had in years, just because I don't eat a lot of, I eat carbs. I get most of my carbs from my vegetables and fruit. So I saw this, the perfect baked potato. And I thought, gosh, it's been way too long since I've had a flippin' baked potato. And I know there's a lot of good things about them. So talk to us about how we make this potato. So perfect.
This is a very unusual technique, but it is the best by far, is to bake your potatoes on a bed of kosher salt. It gives the most delicious flavor and like the perfect fluffy interior. And you can actually reuse the kosher salt later, so if you're worried about throwing it away. But it's just one of those really easy dinners. Potatoes are totally maligned for bad reason,
sure.
But because most people are eating potato chips or they're smothering them in like heavy cream or whatever. And so that's not what we're talking about. You've got, especially if you eat the skin, which is where so many of the nutrients and fiber is or are.
Yes.
As long as you're eating the skin, you've got a really healthy carbohydrate here. So I like to do a baked potato bar, which is a way that everybody can like make their own dinner. My picky eater can do whatever he wants. He can add, his broccoli. And then if I make like my vegan cheese sauce to put on top, he'll eat that. I love like salsa and guacamole and, sauteed mushrooms on mine. Everybody can do their own thing.
When you first said bar, this is my brain. I'm thinking about, I went back to that Lara bar, like flashing. I'm like, a potato bar. That's interesting. Like you put it in a shake.
No. topping bar.
Yes. No, I'm sure every single person listening got that except for me. It took me like a millisecond. Oh, okay. Now, sounds really good. A few years ago, I was obsessed. I used butternut squash for the base of everything. I put spaghetti sauce on it. I put meat on it. I put vegetables on it. And then I got kind of burnt out. And then I got into the spaghetti squash. But I'm going to get back into it, at least for the Moroccan spice butternut squash.
Mm. Yeah, that one's good. Delicious. I'm like crazy about Moroccan spices. I love all spices. Like just, I like high flavor. These are all really anti-inflammatory spices too. The cinnamon, turmeric. I mean, if people are trying to figure out a way to get turmeric into their diet, there's a couple of great recipes here.
Oh, good. Well, you mentioned when you were talking about the potato bar or the toppings bar, you mentioned the vegan cheese. Tell us about that. Is that cashew based?
There are some cashews in there, yes, but it can actually be done without. It just does make it a little bit more creamy. It's in a separate recipe in the book under vegan mac and cheese, and this sauce is crazy town. It actually has a base of vegetables, carrots, onions, shallot, potato, and some cashews. But some of my students have successfully used cooked white beans instead of the raw cashews for kids that are nut-free. And it is creamy. It is almost like Velveeta. You wouldn't believe it. I actually like it better than like a traditional cheese sauce. So tasty.
The white bean idea.
Mm-hmm.
That is very nice. All right, let's look at this superfood salad. Because I have to be honest, I am not so great with salad. I think because I eat a lot of frozen mix, I get a lot of different vegetables. So I'll make a salad. I'll have like baby romaine. I'll have maybe a beet, a carrot, and like a tomato or something. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, look at all these things on the salad I should be eating.
Well, these are all things, you know what? These are all things that I always have in my house. The avocado, quinoa, whether it's, you know, regular canned salmon or just like leftover salmon sprouts. And so one day I was just like, I'm going to put all of these awesome foods together in a salad. And I felt so good after I ate that salad. I just felt energized. I felt light. I felt creative. Like, I just was like, wow, these are foods work.
You know, I'm actually looking at your vegan mac and cheese right now. That looks incredibly good. I mean, everything in this book. Pamela, you've got to come back because Foodie Friday is all about great chefs like you sharing their wonderful recipes, and you have such a great personality. Tell us all the ways that we can learn more. And actually, before that, just any, you know, last thoughts before I have you back. I'd love to have you back in the fall. Talk about some fall recipes.
Well, thank you. I'd love to come back. You know, this book is really just, it's like my baby, and I'm really proud of it. A lot of people can't attend my classes, whether it's because they work full time or they just don't live by me. And I just put this book together for that type of a person who wants to learn more about cooking with whole, nutrient-dense foods, or just to learn how to cook anyway. I mean, some people really never learned. And so I had all those people in mind. And also, there are so many great questions that come up in a class as opposed to on a blog. And I took the most popular questions that come up and answered them in my book. And so I really feel like it's going to be a good resource, whether it's the meal plan in the back or the roasting vegetable chart or just little tips here and there to help people prep ahead. So I think people will find it to be a very useful book.
Pamela, you are great. And I wish you lived next door so we could cook together. We would have a great time. We obviously have the same taste in food, like you mentioned.
Totally. Okay. It's so much fun.
It's great. All right. I want to thank everyone for listening. Check us out on social media, Facebook at Talk Healthy Today Podcast, Instagram at Talk_Healthy_Today, Twitter and Snapchat at Talk Healthy 2 Day. Everyone have a great day. Get cooking and stay well.